How many of you think anorexic people are really attractive? You think those who starve themselves make themselves more beautiful than those who eat normally? Anybody? It's both unfathomable and heartbreaking to me that there are people out there who are deceived enough to think that if they're malnourished enough, they refuse to partake in that which brings physical life and well-being. If they do that, then they'll be somehow better off, more attractive, more liked, more accepted. Or put another way, they believe that if they eat like normal people, they'll become an ugly person or be less valuable. I'm not talking about going on a diet or fasting, nor am I making light of a tragic reality. I'm talking about people with a legitimate eating disorder that are so deceived that in their minds, the best way to live the best possible life is to refuse or limit in an incredibly damaging way that which sustains life. Do you see the absolute absurdity in living this way? I find it strange then that as Christians we often don't see or understand the spiritual parallels. There are many Christians today walking around spiritually anorexic. They say things like, I don't have time to attend Bible study. I don't have time to get involved in the church. I don't have time to commit to regularly reading and studying my Bible and meditating on the Word. I don't have time. Or maybe it has nothing to do with time, but they'll think that they'll somehow be better off if they invest the time and the effort into something else. They legitimately believe that no real value will come from reading and studying their Bible, or that by serving the Lord and making much of Him, they'll be worse off. And there are dozens of directions we could go with this morning, but the one I believe God has for us today is as it pertains to our giving. Specifically, the sacrificial and generous giving of our finances. The spiritually anorexic Christian believes that if they give to the church, much less give significantly, they'll be worse off. They won't be able to pay their bills, they think. Or perhaps they would have to sacrifice any number of earthly pleasures, entertainment, eating out, dessert, new clothes, a trip to the beach, a glass of wine, spoiling their kids and their grandkids, and so on. They can't afford to give to the church, they think. And I believe that the Lord wants to tell us this morning that not only is that a bold-faced lie from Satan himself, but that way of thinking and living is as ridiculous and absurd as not eating food because we think it will lead to greater beauty and satisfaction in this life. And so as we aim to live according to authoritatively true reality, that's one of the vision pieces for this year, namely to possess a Christian world view that is shaped radically by the truths of this book. As we attempt to do this and aim to do this, I believe God wants to bring as much clarity and as truth as possible to this often taboo and uncomfortable subject matter, our personal finances and our giving. I see some uncomfortable looks already. Now, let me just be real with you all for a moment and explain why I believe the Lord has brought us to this moment this morning. The Word of God makes it abundantly clear to us that our generous and sacrificial giving back to Him is for our good. Furthermore, generously giving to God doesn't benefit Him. It's not like He needs anything, much less our giving. This is not primarily for Him. It's for us. And it's not meant to be a burden or a dread. It's for our greatest good. And doing so, namely viewing and holding on to our money loosely and giving generously as Christians whose vastly superior treasure is in heaven, doing that enables us to live the very best possible life. We should so value our riches in Christ and our relationship with Him. We should value that so highly and our freedom from sin so highly and the truth of the gospel so highly that we would simply love to give. My prayer is that we would be free from a love and a dependence on money and things, and that we would give willingly, generously, and sacrificially for our good and for God's glory. And so my aim in this message and this series that we've been in of being living sacrifices to God is not primarily to generate revenue for the church. Yes, our giving is down, but that's not the reason why God has led us to this message. The reason for this message penetrates far deeper and spans eternity. Upon seeking the Lord for the purpose of this message, I believe this is what He told me. This is what I heard in my mind, and it's what He burdened me with. I woke up in the middle of the night thinking about this, and it was ruminating over and over in my mind. And I believe this was the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And here's what I believe He said. I want my children, my sons and daughters, to see and savor my instructions to give generously and sacrificially as good. That's the purpose in this message. I believe the Lord wants us to see that His plans in instructing us to give are actually incredible grace and mercy poured out on us. And if we follow His plans and follow His instructions here, and we give to the local church, and we give to missions, and we give to the brethren and to the poor, if we do these things, we will live the very best possible life, one which is abounding in grace, joy, and blessing. And so from my perspective, if this is true, if what I just said is true, then I would be a terrible shepherd to keep this from you. I would be so wrong to not talk about it and attempt to lead you in these things for your own good. And so this morning is not a guilt trip, nor is it a veiled attempt to manipulate you into giving to the church. This morning is for the Lord to enable us to see some of His perspective as it pertains to giving, and for us to respond then in the most logical and reasonable manner. Amen? And so with that being said, join with me in prayer, and then we'll dig in. Lord Jesus, money is such a touchy subject, and yet it's incredibly important to You. A third of all Your parables revolve around money and possessions. And Your teachings in the Gospels mention more about money and possessions than they do about faith and prayer combined. Clearly, this is something significant to you and is something near and dear to your heart. I pray this morning that you would give us your perspective. Enable me to share and communicate your words and your message in a way that's clear and effective. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would convict and stir and cause things to resonate in us that are of you for our greatest good and for your own glory. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, if you were here last week, you heard me share a story from a few years ago when I talked to an unbelieving coworker about giving to the church, and he thought I was the stupidest person on the planet because he lived for the money. He lived for riches. And so I want to answer in some sense this morning, why on earth would we give? Especially give generously and sacrificially. Why would we do such a thing? In what way is this good for us? And there are many answers to this question, but we're going to focus on three this morning. So number one, and I believe I have a slide for this, and it's in your handout. Number one, through giving, God will meet all of our needs. I'll say that again. Through giving, God will meet all of our needs. Allow me to illustrate. After Jesus had fed both the 5,000 and the 4,000 with only a few loaves and a fish, the disciples got in a boat without enough bread for themselves. When they began discussing their plight, Jesus said in Mark chapter 8, verse 17, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand?" What didn't they understand? They didn't understand the meaning of the leftovers. Namely, that Jesus would take care of them when they give generously to others. Jesus said, "When I broke the five loaves for the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" They said to him, 12. "And the seven for the 4,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to him, 7. And he said to them, "Do you not yet understand?" Understand what? The leftovers. The leftovers were for the servers, for the givers. In fact, the first time in Mark chapter 6, verse 43, there were 12 servers and there were 12 basketfuls left over. One whole basket for each server. The second time, there were 7 basketfuls left over. 7. The number of abundant completeness. So what didn't they understand? That Jesus would take care of them. And as he teaches here, he will do this abundantly. Family, you can't outgive Jesus. When you spend your life for others and you give sacrificially, your needs will be met. Upon receiving a sacrificial gift from the Philippians, Paul writes to them in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." According to his riches. Again, we see abundantly or lavishly. In 2 Corinthians 9, one of the standard go-to passages in the New Testament on giving, Paul, speaking to the cheerful, generous giver, says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." Did you hear that? All grace. All sufficiency in all things at all times. Let that sink in. The source of all that exists, the fountain of all grace, is willing to put his infinite resources to work on our behalf to meet our needs and bless our labors. How many of you think that sounds good? We would be crazy not to want this. All grace, all sufficiency in all things at all times. That pretty much sums it up. That's all I need. And this is what God promises when we give generously, cheerfully, and sacrificially back to him. Why would we give? Because God will meet all of your needs, guaranteed. If you've ever thought for a moment, I can't afford to give, you're wrong. In reality, according to the Bible, the real truth is that you can't afford not to give. I once had a mentor share with me personal testimony in this area. He said he wasn't making enough money to make ends meet. His income couldn't cover all of his needs. On paper, it was a losing bet. And yet, in practice, God always somehow provided in ways that made no sense at all and in ways that we would never expect. Perhaps someone feels led to give to you directly. Just a few weeks ago, someone felt led to give me $40. Out of nowhere, for seemingly no reason, $40 showed up. Maybe an old debt that you're owed gets paid back that you had written off entirely. Maybe God starts doing even more miraculous things. For example, I cannot tell you how many times, and I laugh because this is just God doing God things. I can't tell you how many times I have been sure, absolutely certain, that something is incredibly wrong with my car. And it's going to need a major investment to get it taken care of. And then when I get it looked at and take it to the mechanic, somehow it's mostly better. And it only needs some minor little fix. Family, something was wrong with that car. And God did something. And at least a dozen of you in this room have shared with me personal testimonies in this area about how God has done similar things like this. And I'm sure there are many, many more that I'm unaware of. When we're following God, living sacrificially unto him, giving him control of our finances, and therefore giving generously and sacrificially, even when it makes no sense because perhaps it appears to us that our budget doesn't allow for generous giving, God does incredible and even miraculous things to provide for us. Family, if we will just trust him, albeit in ways that we're probably uncomfortable with or might even consider foolish, he will act. He promises to provide for us. He promises to take care of us, and he promises to supply us with all grace, all sufficiency in all things at all times. Do you see this, family? I want you to consider if you would be willing to trust God this much. God is so good and so full of unexpected grace and mercy towards us, that with great joy and confidence, I join with the Apostle Paul in saying, my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Amen. So when we give, God will take care of us. That's number one. But why else should we give? Or rather, why else does it make logical sense to give as opposed to not give? Because that's what this is about. I'm not trying to convince you that you'll have greater intimacy with Christ if you give, or that you'll know him more and more deeply. Those things are true. But this morning, I believe God wants to smash us with very logical reasons for doing this. So much so that even the most immature believer and perhaps even non-believers will join in on this simply because it makes the most sense logically. You understand? So why else would we give? Number two, giving brings us unimaginable joy. Giving brings us unimaginable joy. Now, I'm not going to spend too much time on this one, but it's an important one. Who wants to be happy? Who wants to experience joy? You want to live a happy life? Family, this is not a trick question. Listen to this powerful testimony that Paul gives us of the Macedonians in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. It says, "We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part." These believers were living in extreme poverty. And yet they experienced an abundance of joy that overflowed in nearly unfathomable generosity. Family, this was fun for them to give in this way. Let me explain how this works. Jesus says in Acts chapter 20, verses 35, that it's more blessed to give than to receive. That's a quote from Jesus, and it's one of only a few places that he's quoted outside of the Gospels. He says it's more blessed, that is, more satisfying, more fulfilling, rejoicing, happy. It's more blessed to be a generous person, a giving person, than a getting person. I'm going to use you to get things and make me happy. You won't be happy that way. The only way your soul is designed to be happy is to be receiving from the Lord and giving to others. You're designed to be a conduit. When the living water is flowing freely from God into you, satisfying your soul and then flowing out in generosity, you sleep well at night. You're designed that way. And it facilitates a greater joy in the Lord and in this life. This isn't just a future joy or some kind of intangible joy in Christ. This is real joy and real satisfaction in this life, in this present life that is directly linked to our generosity. And oftentimes, you can sense and even see this in people. For example, I have two sets of grandparents, and they are both still alive. One set are non-believers. Their life appears to revolve around money. By and large, they're cheap, they're stingy, and I was mortified dozens of times growing up where they would make scenes at stores and restaurants demanding free or discounted things. Generally speaking, they're not happy people, and they rarely, if ever, smile. Now, contrast that with my other set of grandparents who are believers. They love the Lord, and they are among the most generous people I have ever met. Indeed, they are the most generous people I have ever known. Their aim in working and in earning was to give. Work hard, make a lot of money so we can give a lot of money away. To the church, to the brethren, to the poor, and so on. They have probably generously and sacrificially given more money over their lifetime than I can fathom earning. They have been a wonderful example and testimony of generosity in my life. But here's the point. For as long as I have known them, they're among the happiest people on the planet. They give and give and give, and they exhaust themselves giving of themselves and their finances in unusually generous ways. And there is an incomprehensible joy that pairs right along with it. You see, they have learned the secret. One that unfortunately few of us ever learn, especially in this day and age and in this culture. Namely, that generous giving is a primary key to joy. If you know a generous person in Christ, more than likely, they're among the most joyful and happy people out there. Similarly, if you know someone who is unusually joyful and happy in the Lord, they are probably a generous and sacrificial giver, whether you see this or not. These two go hand in hand, and I believe God wants to make this connection for us very clear. And then I believe he wants for us to pursue joy in this life through generous giving back to him. Amen. Lastly, and this is a big one, number three, we give because we will be richly blessed. And I have a point to go on the slide for this as well. We will be richly blessed, living the very best possible life. You may want to write out next to that bullet point, abundant life. Speaking about willing generous giving in 2 Corinthians 9 and the blessing that we receive in giving this way, Paul says this in verse 6. Whoever sows sparingly, will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. While Christ does not promise us material riches or prosperity in this life, there is nevertheless a physical aspect to this in addition to the spiritual and eternal aspects. God does often physically bless us in physical ways that we can see and tangibly experience when we give of ourselves and of our finances generously. This verse and concept remains true even if countless wolves in sheep's clothing have twisted and perverted it for their own personal gain. If we want to experience tremendous blessing and reap bountifully both in this life and in the next, we must sow bountifully. In other words, we give generously. And as I said before, we cannot outgive God. He is the source of all grace and all sufficiency, and his well never runs dry. Amen? And so there is incredible extrinsic motivation with the physical component to give. But there's also a spiritual and eternal component. In the New Testament, blessing is not connected primarily to material wealth or prosperity, but it's typically connected with the spiritual benefits of being joined together by faith with Jesus. The Greek word most often translated blessed in the New Testament means to be fully satisfied and refers to those who receive God's favor regardless of their circumstances. So, according to the biblical definition, blessing is anything that God does or gives that moves us more toward being fully satisfied in him. the one and the only one and the only thing who can truly satisfy our souls in a complete, infinite way. And so when we give generously to the Lord, He sees to it that we are more satisfied with the very best and the only true satisfier, capital S, in the universe. Family, how incredible is that? Here are two very imperfect personal examples to illustrate. One of giving myself, one of giving my finances. Just this last week, I had the pleasure, and I say that word with profound purpose, I had the pleasure of guest preaching for Pastor Hernandez in Saloy. And this was a sincere sacrifice for me. Believe it or not, pastoring this church keeps me very busy. And if I was going to write a totally unique message for our brothers and sisters in Saloy, which I did, then I was going to have to work more in the evenings, work more on Saturday than I already do, miss out on time with my family, and so on. And so prior to this week, I could see very clearly all the things that I would miss out on, all the difficult parts of it. But let me tell you what actually happened. God made it abundantly clear to me that He wanted me to do this and that this was His desire. I followed Him in obedience, and as a result, He gave me incredible joy and satisfaction. It was a glorious time of fellowship and worship with the believers in Saloy and also with the Oldenburgs and Larry and others. When I got home, I told Rachel how glad I was that I went and that the Lord had brought incredible satisfaction. And He does this almost every time I do something like this, namely give of myself sacrificially in generous ways. Now raise your hand if you've ever experienced something like this, where God surprises you and gives you a satisfaction and a joy that you were never expecting. The other example is from when Rachel and I first started getting serious about giving to the church shortly after we got married. In addition to meeting our needs and making our budget work, the act of through or in the act of buying in, so to speak, God brought about a closeness with us and Him and a satisfaction in Him that I had never known. There was a noticeable and a felt growth in Him as we gave Him true lordship of our finances, which was one of the most important things to us at that time. And this is one of those examples that I cannot quantify it, but I believe God did it, and I believe there's a connection here between getting committed to the Lord in demonstrable ways, namely giving to Him regularly, and the blessing and satisfaction that resulted in Him. These two are connected. Does this make sense? There is real blessing in surrendering to Christ, family. And lastly, as if that were not enough, when we give, especially when we give sacrificially and generously, we store up treasures for ourselves in heaven. Does it get any better than this? When we follow God's plan and His desire for our life, namely that we give generously, He meets our needs. He gives us joy and happiness. He satisfies the deepest longing of our soul. And we store up rewards and treasure in heaven. There is real reward waiting for us in heaven that we contribute to now by pursuing our greatest good. This almost seems too good to be true, but it's not. Our God is just this amazing. God truly wants us to see that His plans and His instructions in all of life, but especially as it pertains to our giving, is for our greatest good. Amen. The last 2 weeks, we looked at what it means to be a living sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to God. And one of the most demonstrable, physical, tangible ways that we do this is through our financial giving. When we understand the realities that we talked about today, it totally changes and transforms the way we look at and think about things like money and giving. No longer is giving a burden or a dread. In Christ, we are free to give with great joy and experience His incredible promises that come along with giving generously back to Him. And so, family, I encourage you this morning that if you aren't already, I encourage you to consider giving generously back to the Lord. If money is tight and your budget seemingly doesn't allow for regular giving to the church, that is all the more reason to give something from a generous heart. Come up with a regular giving plan and stick to it, and let's see what God does. God promises that as we give, not only will He meet all our needs, but He will give us joy and a happiness and a satisfaction in Him that we cannot experience any other way. I never want us to fall into the category of we don't have because we don't ask. And similarly, let's not go without and not have because we don't give. Let's give of ourselves and of our finances in ways marked by generosity, cheerfulness, and sacrifice, and in ways that accord with the realities that we profess, namely, that this world is not our home or our treasure, and that we love and value Christ above everything else. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I praise You for the way You plan and design and ordain things for our good. Your commandments are for our good. Your instructions are for our good. And Your deepest desires for us are all ultimately for our greatest good. You love us more than we can possibly fathom or comprehend. As sons and daughters adopted into Your family by grace, You want what is best for us. And for that, I thank You and I praise You. Lord God, You are so good to us, never ceasing to amaze us with the newness of Your daily mercies and Your all-sufficient grace. I pray that as we leave here today, You would continue to speak to us. Give us Your perspective on all of this that we've talked about this morning, and enable us to see that generous, sacrificial giving is as much for us as it is for You and Your purposes and Your plans in the church and in the world. Help us to see that when we get to heaven, if we've given sacrificially and we've given generously, when we get there and see the reward and the treasure that's in store for us, we won't be able to say that we have sacrificed anything by comparison. We give You our skills, we give You our time, we give You our finances, and we give You our very lives. We are Yours, and You are ours. Use us, lead us, and direct us as You see fit for our good and for Your glory. We love You so much. It's in Your most precious name that we pray. Amen.